Just before we start, a little apology. As you may notice, some of the audio, basically from me, does sound a little, let's say, rain heavy, because there was heavy rain in the background. That's basically the reason. So apologies for the audio being a little bit wonky when you're hearing from me. Hopefully you love the insights. We're in England and the weather here is always unpredictable and crazy, and goes from being boiling hot sunshine where you feel like your eyeballs are sweating and there's wasps everywhere and there's steam coming out of taps to a heavy thunderstorm. So that's what you're getting today. Please enjoy the podcast, and as ever, let us know what you think. Hello everybody, welcome to Noise Cancelling. You might be waiting for me to do an interesting introduction where I talk about something hilarious to do with the word noise. I'm not going to do it this week. I don't want to do an introduction. I want to go straight into it. You know what? I'm just sick of doing introductions, just wasting time at the beginning of podcasts, people saying things that aren't really getting to the meat of what people want to hear about. They want to hear about a podcast from entertaining, tech-loving people, and they don't want someone preambling, just going on and on and on and on and on and on. That's not what I'm going to do here. I promise you this time, we are not going to do it. So let's get on with the podcast. Let's see who's on the team today.
I'm Sharia Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
And it's me, Akash, from TechRadar India.
I'm James Peckham, Phones Editor for TechRadar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, Editor-in-Chief of TechRadar. Welcome, Akash. Lovely to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited for today's episode.
Most people are talking about how hot it is in their respective territories. In England, we're dying. In America, Sheree is basically saying, it's nothing. Stop being wimps.
Pretty much. You wouldn't survive over here.
What's your weather situation?
I'm from Mumbai, and right now we're looking at around 40 degrees Celsius and a lot of rains.
And what you can't see is that he's wearing a fur coat.
He looks like Macklemore.
Yeah, exactly. Most weeks we start off with a big question. This week is no different. So we're going on the DC Fandome news, which is basically DC having a mini Comic Con of their own so that they can just let people talk about all things DC, which if you listened a few weeks ago where we had Adam Vajestica on, he'd have been giddy with excitement about this, but I assume every single other person in the world won't care, right? Is that fair? Because DC sucks?
No, I care about DC.
I sort of care.
But they run down, you know, you're fan of DC characters such as Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, Aquaman. You have to put Aquaman at the end of that. You're really struggling to be like...
You missed out on the Flash.
Yeah, exactly. Or Arrow. Or, you know, all the stuff that does really well on, you know, on the DC, you know, Arrowverse. And then we go down this way instead. But anyway, it's happening. And as a fandom event, it will go bigger than that, obviously. So if you want to find out more about that, do check out TechRadar. Obviously wonderful. But our big question today is, which big connected universes franchise would you want to see next? If we could do anything in the world, what would we make it into a franchise? Sheree, I'm going to start with you first.
I would like to see a reboot of live action Witchblade, but this time bring the darkness into it and the Immaculous into it. I love the darkness video games. I dabbled in the comic books, and the Witchblade series was, the comic was great as well. The live action show was pretty good. I was very surprised by that. And Witchblade even had an anime that was pretty, like, I underestimated it. It was my bad. So I would actually like to see that. And I would like to see it on HBO so we can have all the nudity and gratuitous violence that that befits this series.
Strong start, strong start. I mean, I understood most of it, but Pexy, James Peckham, what are you thinking?
I want a Nintendo cinematic universe. I want to see Mario in the same universe as Samus. I want to get all of my Nintendo games all into one cinematic universe where they can all cross over. Come at me.
I mean, I feel like isn't that basically already happened?
No, they made one Super Mario Brothers movie and they did not make a cinematic universe out of that. I want to get a full animated suite of all of my Nintendo characters that can cross over between them all. I want to get Luigi separate movies. I want to have Mario separate movies. And then we get the Avengers-style crossover where you get Iron Man, Captain America-style characters and you get them both together. Why are you shaking your head?
And you get a really sexist Princess Peach. Like, all she wants to do is find love, but she's just a career girl who wants it all. And it's just...
I thought about this. She's playing Nick Fury, basically. So she's going to be the one who brings them all together. And she's going to turn up at the end of the first Mario movie.
She sounds more like Charlie out of Charlie's Angels.
And
they're the angels, yeah.
Funny thing, somebody did this really excellent fan film like years ago, and I'm gonna put it in the chat for you to watch because I think you would really enjoy it. It's like Super Mario Bros, but with Gunkata from Equilibrium.
Yeah, totally. It's gonna be all over the place, but But they can make it work in Marvel, so you can have the comedic characters alongside your super gritty movies and that. So I want to see Nintendo trying to.
Okay, I like it. I think it works. The way I interpreted the question was different in terms of just anything interconnected. So I was like, well, Nintendo's kind of interconnected with Smash Brothers already, and you know they can kind of weave things in. But you're right.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, maybe that could be the Avengers movies. We can have Super Smash Brothers movies.
That would just be the Avengers having a fight. You know, same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's essentially Civil War.
Yeah, true. Yeah. That was an Avengers film, so joke's on you. Akash, what are you thinking?
So now that James brings it up, I think I would want like a Nintendo crossover as well, where we have something between Pokemon and Mario happening together. That's more of a guilty pleasure. If I would want to give a serious answer, I think it would be something from the Ubisoft franchisee. Let's say something like the new Far Cry series, because I the way I look at it, I think those movies have a good storyline, there's a lot of character development and gore and violence. So I think like it ticks all the right boxes. So probably like being an old school gamer, that would be my pick for now.
What was the first game you owned?
Probably Pokemon Yellow on a Game Boy Color.
Baby.
Yeah, trees that, yeah, red and blue, whatever. And Shiri, I know you're not that old, but I was about to make a joke about you having the Atari, but...
What? I'm not that old, but my cousin had it, and that was one of the first things I grew up on. Like, my first, like, exposure to video game Pong and a little bit of Pitfall.
That's the cinematic universe we need.
Yeah, I had Pong. Pong was my first one as well, but that was my mum's old... You had little spinny things at the bottom of what it was called, so that was my first integration with video games. Then I got a Nintendo Entertainment System and the world became a better place. I went down a different route for this question. I wanted just to see the Hugh Jackman cinematic universe.
Wow.
So Hugh Jackman in all his films is just is the same person.
So Jean Valjean from
yeah, Rainers. but in every single one he is Wolverine.
So Wolverine as computer hacker from Starfish?
Swordfish, yes. He's also in Van Helsing. He's also in Kate and Leopold as the love interest. He's
Hugh Jackman as Wolverine in Les Mis.
Yeah, and what I want to believe is that there was, you know, there were deleted scenes where the directors wanted to kind of change the angle of it. So like in The Greatest Showman, there's a bit where he's snick-snicking all over the place, like he just fucks up the critic, but they decide, you know, it doesn't really fit with it, so they take it out. But essentially, yeah, he's because the Wolverine character has lived for so long, he could be in Van Helsing, which was ages and ages ago, and he could be in Chappie, you know, in South Africa, because he just goes all over the world. And I feel like that could be the way that it comes together.
I'm just imagining Wolverine in The Prestige now.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Very different film.
The only downside to that is that Wolverine wouldn't have let himself... Spoilers, everyone. Shut your ears for the next 15 seconds. Wolverine wouldn't have let himself die so many times over and over again in The Prestige if he was Wolverine just like smash his way out of the glass. But, you know, again, maybe you'd have the deleted scene where you could be his Wolverine-proof glass just to make The Prestige really work.
Adamantium glass.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And they're like, you know what, this is too confusing. And after the 74th movie, they're like, you know what, should we just stop casting him? Because this is making it very difficult to create films. I can't give it to myself, even though my answer is genius. So I'm going to go with Pexy because I just want to, you know, I want to see what happens with more Mario in the universe.
So are you giving me budget to go make this, yeah?
I'm going to give you budget to write the article.
Okay, great, cool.
Right, let's get on to things that happened, because we had a lot happening. We're already 10 minutes in. Well done, us. Let's start off with Cherie. You're telling us all about the Xbox coming soon and how angry you are.
all right, so first things first. Due to a leak, we now know that the Xbox Series X will launch in November? Like, that wasn't... I mean, we kind of knew that, but supposedly the launch date is going to be November 6th. Still no pricing, which is ridiculous. We're in August and people need to know how much money they need to save to be able to buy this thing. Like, how long are we going to have to wait? How long are they going to play chicken with this? And then on top of that, when it launches, it will not be launching with Halo Infinite, which has been delayed, probably because everyone clowned it when during the last Xbox event and how the graphics looked. So you get what you like. You sit there, you troll folks. This is what you get when you troll. You don't get Halo. So there we are. So now we're launching without Halo, which means that Xbox is losing a major launch feather in its cap. So this can get ugly really quickly. Other Xbox Series X news, or should I say Series S, because a controller was seen in the wild, and it definitely said Xbox Series S on there. So supposedly, the cheaper version of the X exists, and it will be called the Series S, which I can see so many children being disappointed this holiday season when they're like, Mommy, Mommy, I want the Xbox Series X. And Mommy is going to hear S, and they're going to get the cheap one, and there are going to be tears aplenty.
That's why you always email your request to your parents with links to the relevant affiliates. You know, and obviously make sure you go through TechRadar when you're buying everything. It's the best thing to do. But yeah, I know what you mean. I think the two being so confusingly side by side is going to make things difficult for parents trying to work out which one to actually get for children this year. And it's just irritating that we don't know how much we're going to have to spend if a child does want them.
I'm annoyed about it. Like, I don't know if Sony and Microsoft are playing chicken. Like, well, you go first. Somebody go first so we can figure out what, like, you're going to get the money regardless. I don't know why we're playing this game. Stop. Like, no one wins in this game.
Unless Nintendo come out with the Switch 2, just like now. They're like, here it is, bye. And it's this much and you can get it this week. And everyone else, shit, didn't see that going. But you're right, I think people have complained about Halo Infinite for too long, and now, yeah, live by the sword, die by the sword, I think. Right, let's talk about something else that's just happened today. We're recording this on a Wednesday. You listen to us on a Friday, you'll see a slightly different date, obviously. But the Surface Duo is here from Microsoft. And I say here, it's been kind of unveiled. We've got a lot more information on it. We know, you know, it's been shown off over and over again. We've got loads more specs. So if you haven't heard about the Surface Duo, it's a device from Microsoft that has got the Microsoft logo on it but runs Android. So essentially we're talking, you know, a competitor to all the different high-end Android phones out of the Galaxy Note 20, etc., etc. Designed for productivity. So we've got two 5.6 inch screens that can be folded outwards together, and they'll make an 8.3 inch screen. Now what's different there is it's got a very visible hinge down the middle, so you can fold it. This is very much not a visual feature, or an audio feature, sorry. So you've got your hands flat together, you open them up to like a book, and then somehow you can fold your hands all the way back around again, so there's screens on the front and on the back. But the fact is, when it's flat, and I assume it'll clip into place by the looks of things, it does, you have got a very visible hinge down the middle. So Pexi, is that, I feel like this is like the LG Snap-on that they decided, instead of making a foldable phone, they should make a Snap-on, I don't know what it's called, that would allow you to have basically two screens.
Yeah, the what is it called? The ThinQ, I can't remember now. Dual screen.
Yeah, because it was like the ThinQ V3. Because I remember that it was one of my favorite phones.
Yeah, it was a phone.
Well, no, because theoretically, like phones plural, but it was one of my favorites at IFA last year.
Yeah, it was called the dual screen. I should have worked that out.
Personally, I think this is very expensive for what you're getting here, which essentially looks like a book, and it's not got a properly foldable display like you're getting if you opt for the Huawei or the Samsung, even the Motorola. You are just getting a much more book-like design here. It is still a foldable screen. That's unfair, but we've now got the...
No, it's not. It's a foldable phone. It's not a foldable screen.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, foldable, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. So we've now got the price for it, which is $1,400, which is a lot of money, but not a lot of money compared to some other foldable phones, considering the Galaxy Fold 2 is going to be a lot more than that in the US. Well, we think it will be. The Galaxy Fold was. And we've now got a pre-orders are now open, and you can get it on September 10th, which is quite soon, really, considering we don't have an Xbox release date, but we do have a release date for this.
I'm not bitter.
What do we think about the hardware for the Surface Duo? It seems relatively mediocre is unfair, because we're talking like, what was it, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 6 gigabytes, 6 gigabytes of RAM, and a Snapdragon 855, which is not the best out there by a long way at the moment.
Why has it got an 855? Like, every phone that's announced right now has got an 865 plus in it. Like, Galaxy Note 20 managed to sneak that in at the last moment. I don't understand why. It's a strange one.
I think the reason here would be that Microsoft would say something like, we've been working on this phone since a long time and we had to optimize, because it's a very different screen aspect ratio as well. So I'm guessing that's the premise we are going to get from Microsoft about why you're having an older processor. And just on the same note, I think like while we are comparing it with other foldables and four foldables, I think it coming from Microsoft, we might see a few smart productivity features like the Note 20 launch. If you remember, we saw a few hints where Microsoft was trying to, you know, get serious about smartphones. So looking at it, I think that the Surface Duo could add a couple of smart features, or at least something related to multitasking, which not a lot of foldables offer right now. Or else, as you said, it's not a very exciting product without that software support.
I mean, also, we had the... I can't remember the name of anything. The Surface Neo, sorry.
It's hot. Let yourself off.
Yeah, I'm just going to cry quietly. If it didn't waste liquid, I would cry quite heavily.
Why don't y'all have fans if y'all don't have air conditioning? What is going on?
It's downstairs.
We don't understand technology. What are you all about?
I did mean to, but I forgot, basically. But the Microsoft Surface Neo, if you look in the promotional video for the Surface Duo, has got... I think the Surface Neo looks like a fancier device anyway, and this is just like a smaller, basically a bit shitter version of that, rather than it being like a phone replacement, but like something you could maybe use to upgrade your phone. I don't see that happening necessarily, especially with the cost. But equally then, Microsoft doing cool things in phones always just triggers nostalgia for those Windows phones that were really great that no one loved, and they bought Nokia, so Nokia's kind of life and soul that used to exist in the early 2000s still, you feel there's that heritage that goes through. So it's nice to see that still alive. But on the subject of foldable phones, they seem to be a thing, right? They are happening. Samsung has got the Galaxy Fold 2 out there now, but nobody seems to be talking about that at the moment. Why do you think that is, Akash? Why is no one caring about the Fold 2 at the moment?
I think Samsung has like some sort of a staggered launch this time, with the actual unveiling being in early September. Because at the Unpacked event, like the segment for the Fold 2 was really short. So I think they want to like save it and give it a dedicated event of its own where they'll talk about it in detail, and probably that's when we would get to test the product beforehand and talk about it. So maybe I think like Samsung wants the Note to have its own attention at this point and like bring it in the spotlight, get it off the way, and then bring dedicated attention for the Z Fold 2.
Yeah, I think that was quite a strange idea, really, when they did just unveil it there at the end and gave enough detail that it wasn't a teaser, but then not enough detail to actually know enough about the phone. I thought it was a very odd thing for Samsung to do at the end of the Note 20 event.
But we're going to see more about it soon, aren't we? Has it been confirmed there's going to be another event? I feel like there was.
I think on stage they said something's happening in September, didn't they? Am I right, Akash?
September 2nd is, I think, what it is.
Yeah, so obviously I think it's one of those things where, you know, company, it's almost like back to the MCU, you know, in the universe, there's a, oh, it started to rain, that's exciting. Oh, it's washing outside. Ah, well, let's move on.
You're on a podcast, Gareth.
Yeah, it's really annoyed me.
What is going on?
We're waiting for a thunderstorm, and the thunderstorm's clearly here. Last night I was driving at the night time and there was thunderstorms in the sky, but without any rain. It was crazy. Something about the Fold 2 coming soon. Brilliant. Well done. But Akash, we were also talking about, you know, the Xiaomi Mi 10. You said it's a necessary evil.
So to bring it into context, in around March, the Mi 10 was unveiled globally and it made it to India about a month later. And this was, I think, Xiaomi's return to the premium, to the flagship space after almost 3 years. So Xiaomi is currently the market leader in India and primarily for its budget smartphones. So when it launched the Mi 10 in India, there was a lot of bad sentiment around it, basically, because people were... So India being a rather emotion-driven market, let's just say, people weren't too happy paying close to $800 or $1,000 for a Xiaomi product, because we've been accustomed to paying $200 or $300 for it. So it brought out a lot of wrong emotions, but it was a fantastic device by all means. So I think it's more of a marketing challenge for Xiaomi at this point and not a product challenge. So I call it a necessary evil, primarily because if you want to change your brand's perception, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen with one product. It's when you constantly and consistently keep pushing out great flagship phones that can like match with the likes of the OnePlus 8 series probably, or like upcoming OnePlus phones, or even the cheaper iPhones. That's when you start becoming a part of the conversation that, okay, even Xiaomi is now a flagship smartphone player. Okay, let me find out what it brings to the table. So, of course, like the first one probably didn't sell too well, and at least there wasn't a good sentiment around it, even if it did. But my whole point being that if Xiaomi is serious about its future in India, and we all know that it's these expensive phones where the actual profits lie, I think Xiaomi needs to keep bringing successors to its flagships and eventually understand what the market wants and needs. I think what it brings to the table primarily is its 108-megapixel camera. Because no, this phone, like there are already very few phones that offer that, and Xiaomi's is significantly cheaper than everyone else. And it also needs like all the other essentials with the Snapdragon 865, a high refresh rate curved display, a big battery, fast charging. So it needs the basics and gives a great camera experience over top. The only thing that did not work in its favor was MIUI. Because like MIUI is kind of popular to push ads into the system, and a lot of people were hopeful that if it's a premium smartphone, we probably won't have to deal with ads. And more than that, it's a bit of bloatware and some data privacy issues. So, which Xiaomi says they'll be working on it eventually. But as things stand right now, that was one of the other sore thumbs.
And I mean, Xiaomi Pixie is becoming quite a big name for in the Western market as well now, isn't it? It's gaining popularity quite rapidly.
Yeah, it feels like the next Chinese phone manufacturer to try and make an impact in that way, and they're still not readily available in the US, and so that's probably their next really big challenge. But in the UK market, at least, they're starting to chip away.
Is this something that we're excited about as a device?
Yeah. So by the time you're listening to this, our full review of the Galaxy Watch 3 will be live. I really like it. Much like the first device, which I really liked as well. It's a 14% slimmer and 15% lighter than the last generation, which doesn't sound like much on paper, but really when it is on your wrist, you do notice that. You're getting the rotating bezel back again. The screen is still nice and vivid. There's a lot to love about it. A lot of the fitness features at the moment, a lot of the new fitness features at least, are very limited. You've got an ECG monitor, which is not available in most markets. There's blood pressure monitoring, which is also not available in a lot of markets at the moment, but they're features that will be coming to the watch in the future. So that's one of the main restrictions, and it's a little bit more expensive than the last generation, especially if you live in the UK, you're looking at a larger price. But I really, really like it. I've given it 4 stars on TechRadar, and yeah, it's great. It's arguably the best smartwatch out there right now, depending on whether you have an iPhone or not. If you have an iPhone, the Apple Watch is probably still more suited to you. But the Galaxy Watch is... I'm getting a frown here. Do you not agree?
Oh, no. I was just...
you frowned so hard. I was like, I have to stop. Clearly, I'm wrong.
Well, no. My bad. Like, it's not running Tizen, is it? Please say it's not running Tizen.
It is running Tizen, yeah. Tizen's genuinely not as bad anymore. Like, it's on a par with Wear OS, in my opinion.
All right. Color me intrigued.
Yeah, it feels like Samsung has really stepped up his game in the last 3 years at least, and this feels like another generation. Skipping the Watch 2 was a strange idea and calling this Watch 3, but you know what companies are like.
Sheree, do you ever wear smartwatches? I don't think I've seen you wearing one.
Every now and then, I will do it. Like, the last one I've worn was the Moto 360, so that lets you know how long ago it's been. I love that watch because it looked like a watch, and so I was already intrigued by the Galaxy Watch 3 because, again, it looks like a watch. I was not thrilled to hear about Tizen, but if you're saying that it's that improved that you're going to give it a 4... then I need to look into this.
If you prefer Wear OS as well, there is the Moto 360 that they announced last year. There's that, which you can buy now, I think, in the US. I'm trying to think if you can buy it or not. But there's a new version of the Moto 360 with Wear OS on it.
Yeah, we're talking of smartwatches. We've also got a lot on the Oppo Watch, which has been beautifully reviewed by Akash. Akash, please, tell us about the Oppo Watch.
Yeah, so the Oppo Watch is a Wear OS running watch. And we had a good discussion about this, that... and it's also based on what James said, that Wear OS isn't as great as it used to be, especially because Samsung's Tizen OS has improved so much that it feels like a proper ecosystem product. It seems like a complete product that can do everything. Whereas, as a person, I was genuinely very excited for Wear OS when it launched, when the first Moto 360 came about 6 years ago. And like having used a Wear OS watch almost every year, it just breaks my heart each year because I'm not seeing real improvements in the performance or the battery life, and not the features either. So in the current scenario, I think the Oppo Watch is a great watch if you're looking for Wear OS specifically. I don't think if you can see it right now, but the display actually curves on both sides. which I think this is the first watch with a curved display. And if you remember, Wear OS primarily depends on swipes from the left and right. So the user experience is no doubt great. It works fast. And I think this is the best performing Wear OS watch as well, based on everything that I've used. But at the end of the day, it is still Wear OS. So you are still looking at terrible battery life and a fair bit of inconsistency in the performance. Yeah, I think it opens up a bigger conversation at this point that Wear OS really needs to revamp things up. Because Google had like a fair bit of lead, about 2 or 3 years of lead before Samsung and everyone came in, before even Apple came in. And it's managed to do absolutely nothing with it. Like, it was the IoT product before IoT was a thing or a buzzword. And now it's just it seems like an adopted child of Google. Like, I think at Google I/O 2020, we did not even hear about Wear OS. So that just shows how low of a priority it's probably become.
Very briefly, before we get on to the news blast, where we have a new player in town, Akash, Plexi as well, we were talking before about the Galaxy Note 20 and this kind of this confusion, or not confusion, but this sort of the duality of having two different processors within it. When it first came out, yeah, well, Samsung started making its own Exynos processors. They were generally seen as the better ones. They were the faster, more powerful. And Qualcomm was there in America to primarily, I thought, to allow for different connectivity. There was a different licensing deal over there. But now it seems to have kind of flipped almost. And it's kind of an annoyance, I suppose, in certain parts that the Exynos is nowhere near as good as the Qualcomm chipset. Is that right? Or am I just overgeneralizing massively?
So I think that is very much the case, at least with the Note 20. So last year, I think Snapdragon overtook Exynos. And with the 865 series, that lead even widened further. So we are primarily looking at a fair bit of performance and efficiency issues with the Exynos variants. And so, see, that isn't really a big deal, because if you're getting a good user experience, you shouldn't be complaining. But what happened is that since the Note 20 series is so expensive, like, let's not even get started about the regular Note 20, even just talking about the Note 20 Ultra at this point, being a $1,400, $1,500 device at this point, consumers expect it to be, you know, perfect in almost every way. And Samsung has always pegged the Note series as, you know, the best smartphone across, at least across Android, if that's what we can call it. And the thing is that people, when you expect a phone to be great, it's not even great with a phone that's probably half its price, let's say, if we compare it with OnePlus. Because, like, I can vouch for this at this point, because I've been using the Exynos Note 20 Ultra for a bit, and you are seeing a lot of performance and battery life issues. So a lot of people in India were disappointed. We did even talk about this in the briefing with Samsung, and Samsung did not give us, like, they said it's fine, it passed over quality standards and all those things. But if you ever use a real Android flagship, primarily something with the Snapdragon 865, or if you compare them side by side, the differences are very clear. And I'm not entirely sure if this is a price decision or just a market specific decision, because Samsung now has publicly even stopped talking about this. So it was supposed to be that the Note 20 Ultra has an improved Exynos 990 over the S20 Ultra. But Samsung is staying mum on that and not even telling us anything about it. If we are looking at any hardware improvements, or is it just software optimization? I'm not entirely sure how easy it becomes for a phone that's... I mean, if you look at India being a price-sensitive market and people spending so much on a phone, you would expect it to be perfect. And in terms of, as I said, performance and battery life, it loses a lot of points.
Pexi, what do you think? Other side of the, have you used both devices? Have you tried the Snapdragon before?
No, I've never actually tried the Snapdragon. I don't think I've tried the Snapdragon Samsung phones generally, just because we don't have easy access to them. But
I know who has, though. I know who has tried the Notes with Snapdragon.
Schweider?
That was you, Cherie, isn't it? You love your Notes.
Oh, yeah. No, I love my Note. My bad. I love my Note 8, but I'm kind of just prepping myself for the Ultra, because I need it in my life.
Why is that?
A, it's time for an upgrade. B, I am feeling that Mystic Bronze color. The S Pen, like the faster S Pen, appeals to me, and just the power of it all. So I just can't function without a Note. So, and if I'm going to get one, it better be the top of the line one.
Right, I think it's time to go and find out just how well Pexi can do if he's talking quickly. Give us as many news stories in 60 seconds with explanations. 3, 2, one, go.
Rocksteady, the makers of the Arkham series of Batman games, is making a new Suicide Squad game. A teaser has been revealed for that, and that's coming out soon. There's a new Netflix theme, you know, that ba-dum sound that you get at the start whenever you boot up Netflix. That's composed by Hans Zimmer, and it's designed for cinemas. Nvidia is teasing something big for August 31st. It's making a new GPU. Well, we think it's making a new GPU called the RTX 3080. WhatsApp is making a new feature to stop you embarrassing yourself. The whole aim of this is that you get a new background depending on what chat you are on, and you shouldn't send the wrong message to the wrong people. Fall Guys launched on PS Plus. Over 1.5 million people played it on launch day, but that caused some bad server issues. A PS5 controller leak has suggested that the battery capacity will be better than the PS4 pad. The Xiaomi Mi 10 Ultra was announced in China, but it looks like it won't be coming to other countries. It does have 120 times zoom on the camera, though. Windows 10 has a new update, which brings in a new clipboard feature, which will see your copy and paste. Damn it. Didn't get that last one.
Yeah, I think you did. I felt like the question is whether I got enough from it as a news story. And I feel like new copy and paste feature, Windows 10 update, you did it. So that was 8.
Oh, great. 8. Yay.
Just some feedback for you there. If the the GPU one, you spent too long. always got to jump over those ones. You just got to be, new one, RTX 380. Who knows who's going to be? Go, next one. But I didn't know. I missed completely that new ba-dum-sh, for Netflix. And that was really well explained.
Genuinely listen to it. It's like 20 seconds long. It's designed for when Netflix makes movies that can be played in cinemas. And yeah, Hans Zimmer did it.
Wow, I wonder how much you got paid for it as well.
Who knows?
I feel like you could have just like let a horse hit its face on a keyboard for like 4 hours and you would have got something out of that that was better, just somewhere in that sample. Right, it is time for everyone's favourite feature this week. Cherie, what is it?
Unpopular opinions, let your hate unfurl. Did we actually decide on something to hate on? I can't actually remember. Unpopular opinions.
Oh, we did. And it's again with Akash is his soliloquy on Wear OS. I feel like while we talked about what, you know, the things can do right now, we didn't talk about how much better it should be. So Akash, take it away. Do you think it's good or bad?
In its current state, in a vacuum, Wear OS is fine. It's not bad. I wouldn't call it bad. But as a person who inherently was very excited for, you know, wearables and having a computer with you at every point of time that doesn't look like a computer, Wear OS had a lot of promise. Like, and as I said, it was the first IoT or the first connected device before that became a buzzword and before every company wanted to get on it. And there was so much potential over here, but we're seeing not a lot of improvement over the last 6 years, I think. 2014 was when Wear OS was announced. And the problems that plagued Wear OS back in the day continue to do so. Now we're just seeing it in different and probably fancier bodies. And that's about it. The battery life definitely needs to get better. It's not even to Apple Watch standards, which isn't a big standard anyway. And it needs to do a lot better. There's a silver lining. We have the Snapdragon Wear 4100 platform coming, I think, in a month or so. It's already been announced. Fossil will be the first one to bring it to the market. We haven't heard about when that watch is coming, but that is supposed to bring about a 40 or a 50% jump in both performance and efficiency. I am cautiously very less optimistic, to be honest, because my heart's been broken so many times by Wear OS. But if there's any takeaway at this point is that Google really needs to figure out what Wear OS is, because it has all the money in the world. It has all the data in the world. It has so many manufacturer partners in the world. And it also gives manufacturers the flexibility if they want to tweak the software. And with everything in its favor, it still somehow manages to suck in comparison to the Tizen watches or even the Apple Watch. So, and Samsung did the smart thing because Samsung was one of the first adopters of Wear OS. It made a watch. I mean, it made a couple. Those were fine. And it split and it moved to Tizen. And those watches were amazing. Like, probably the best an Android user can get. And we are not seeing that amount of excitement from Wear OS anymore. Google isn't talking a lot about it. So my whole takeaway at this point is that Google really needs to figure out where Wear OS will be going in the future, or not pull it too hard if it wants to end it.
Pexy, when was the last time you reviewed a Wear OS watch?
A while ago now. It must have been one of the Tick watches that I've not tried for a while. Most of my time has been spent with the Tizen watches, to be honest. Yeah, I'm scared that Google will do a Google and decide to decide to cancel one of its products because it doesn't seem great at the moment for Wear OS, does it really, generally? But no, I haven't used any recently, but that's mostly down to there just not being that many new products. Most of the new products that come out are from Fossil usually, which are making very similar watches but in different designs. So you get like the Michael Kors watches and the Fossil watches themselves and a variety of fashion brands like that. Those are probably the last ones I used.
I'm annoyed because I was, you know, the Sony smartwatches, this was a long, long time ago. They were kind of the proto Android Wear. That was, you know, the very first one. It was called the smartwatch, I can't remember. But it was very much Sony's own operating system, I think that was. And it was like Akash said, like a computer on your wrist. It was brilliant. And it started to get better and it started to get stronger and it moved forward and then the gestures and the flipping and you sort of saw this integration of more stuff. And it felt like, obviously, Samsung moving away and, you know, dabbling with Android Wear but never really sticking to it and making its own thing really has hurt it. And the Apple Watch, I mean, I'm still not convinced that the Apple Watch is kind of, you know, a necessary part of your Apple ecosystem. It's fine to have it there and it's good. But what Apple is doing is really... It is not giving up on it in any way, shape, or form. Every single time you hear about a new iPad OS, there's Watch OS coming new, and you're getting far more health features. You're getting a more increasingly deep look at what it can give you. You know, there's now sleep tracking in there, which is still weird to me because Apple has openly admitted that it doesn't really last long enough to do sleep tracking. So that must mean the Apple Watch 6 is going to have a longer lasting battery, surely. So you see that. You see this constant progression with it, and eventually, you know, I know, you see the numbers of Apple Watch sold are incredible. So, but Google had such a head start, and I think it's one of those few places where its lack of hardware strategy has basically hurt it, and not having that kind of Pixel Watch that we talked about, or that flagship device, rather than working with the manufacturer and doing like a Nexus thing, rather than not having its own thing and saying this is how good it can be, it's kind of hindered it a bit, I think.
Maybe the Fitbit deal will change that.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe we'll start to see the Fitbit hardware stuff become part of that, but who knows at the moment. That feels like that's going to be a long way off.
We are definitely running out of time here. Just quickly, an update on my dad. Went to the zoo the other day with him.
Aww. Really nice. Like your dad tweeted me, and I felt like, oh my God, Dad approves!
Did he? Well... Let's just say once again, thank you to Akash for joining us all the way from Mumbai. You didn't have any thunderstorms or rain to upset your day, so I'm glad for you in that sense. How can we hear more from you, Akash, if we wanted to find out your thoughts, your tweetings, your musings? What can we do?
Sure. So if you want to find me on social, my handle is @JhaverInator. It should be there in the video at this point. And yeah, you can find me everything that's happening over TechRadar India. That's where you talk to me.
And Pexi, how about you?
I'm @JamesRWP on Twitter. And yeah, also come to Tech Radar and read phone news, please.
Cherie, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MissSmith11, M-I-S-S, Smith11. And of course, go to Laptop Mag for all your laptop, tablet, and everything in between. Anything you can plug into a mobile device, come there for that. And yeah, laptop in the past, laptop now, and laptop forever.
Anything you can plug into a mobile device, I like that. It's really just... Is there like anything you can plug in, even if it's supposed to or not?
I mean, we're talking about that. The expansion continues.
Like, could you put a coat hanger in?
I mean, you could, but you shouldn't. Also, since Gareth has so many creative ideas for what can be plugged in, Laptop is also looking for creative ideas. So please hit up our How to Pitch page and send us your ideas.
Oh, that was good. That was slick. And also, quite pleasing, that sound I just made a beautiful triangle on my little sound meter. That made me very happy as well. I've been Gareth Beavis. You can get me at SuperBeav on Twitter. Please do follow me because I'd really like some more followers. It'll make me feel happy. Please read Tech Radar for more than just phones news, although that is excellent. Has it gone downhill since other editors left? Only time will tell. But you can obviously read more about cameras, laptops, plugging anything into anything based on Tech Radar. That's our promise for you. And please find us on all the socials at Tech Radar. This has been the Noise Cancelling Podcast. It is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. Many other fine podcasts to check out. Please don't just spend your time listening to us only. You can subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your pods. And you can give us 5 stars if you like it. If you don't, then just don't bother because it ruins it for everybody. Thank you very much for listening this week. And we will speak to you all next week. Bye bye.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Bye.
Thunder Rumble out.